In the 1927 manuscript, Introduction to Fragments of an Unknown Teaching, P.D. Uspensky, a key teacher of the Fourth Way, wrote, "The predominant emotion in me was fear, fear to lose myself, fear to disappear in something unknown. I remember a phrase in a letter I wrote at the time. I am writing this letter to you, but who will write the next letter, signing it with my name, and what he will say, I do not know." This was the fear. Uspensky, a Russian philosopher, was referring to the transformative impact of what is called the system, the work, or the fourth way. This teaching is a method of intense personal effort performed on oneself for the purpose of knowing oneself objectively and evolving into a higher state of consciousness that awakens us to a whole new experience of reality. George Ivanovich Gurdjieff brought these powerful ideas to the West from ancient and secret sources in the East. This extraordinary system of thought ranges from the most intimate psychological insights to a grandiose cosmology linking the individual with the universe. It is a synthesis of practices and teachings formatted for the Western scientific mind. It is named the Fourth Way to differentiate it from the other ways of conscious evolution, the way of the monk, the way of the fakir, the way of the yogi. Each of these classic methods of human transformation focus on different aspects of the individual, emotional, physical, intellectual. The fourth way deals with all of these dimensions at once, seeking to create a balanced individual whose inner work of transformation occurs in the midst of his or her daily activities. It is not necessary to live in monasteries or ashrams in order to apply this spiritual concentration. Yet the efforts made are as intense and demanding as any of the practices that take place in those settings. The work is entirely inner, invisible, and individual. The evolution of human consciousness is a matter of personal efforts and is therefore a rare exception among the majority of human beings. To those who would wonder at the seeming unfairness of this assertion, Uspensky responds that most people simply do not want to awaken. To become a different being, we must want it greatly and over many years. Without the necessary efforts, we will not evolve. Moreover, we must acquire qualities that we believe we already possess, but in fact do not. In the fourth way, this insight is the first step in the direction of inner evolution. We do not know ourselves. Gurdjieff says, "Man has invented many machines, and he knows that a complicated machine needs sometimes years of careful study before one can use it or control it. But he does not apply this knowledge to himself, although he himself is a much more complicated machine than any machine he has invented. This machine is brought into motion by external influences. All actions, ideas, and emotions are responses to the stimulus of external events." For Gurdjieff, such mechanical persons are asleep to their true condition and virtually incapable of change. He tells us, "By himself he is just an automaton with a certain store of memories of previous experiences and a certain amount of reserve energy. Human beings, therefore, cannot do. Everything happens to us as to puppets pulled by invisible strings." Uspensky believed that if we could perceive this phenomenon, then things would begin to change for us. We human beings are not merely stimulus response machines, but machines that can know that we are machines. Realizing this, we may find ways to cease being simply reactive organisms. Another central idea in the fourth way is that the individual is not one. We have no permanent I or ego. Every thought, feeling, sensation, desire is an I, which believes that it is the whole person. Yet none of these I's are connected, and each depends on the change of external circumstances. To make matters worse, there are often impenetrable defenses between each I, which the work calls buffers, separating these sub-personalities from one another. Gurdjieff stated that one of our most important mistakes is our illusion about our unity. He tells us, his I changes as quickly as his thoughts, feelings, and moods, and he makes the profound mistake in considering himself always one and the same person. In reality, he is always a different person, not the one he was a moment ago. Our every thought and desire lives separately and independently from the whole. According to Gurdjieff, we are made of thousands of separate eyes, often unknown to one another, and sometimes mutually exclusive and hostile to each other. Man is a plurality. Man's name is Legion, he writes. The alternation of eyes is controlled by accidental external influences. There is nothing in us able to control the change of eyes, mainly because we do not notice it. Each separate I calls itself I and acts in the name of the whole person. This explains why people so often make decisions and so seldom carry them out. A little self-observation will prove that we usually think, feel, move, and respond without our being aware of what is happening within us. This self-observation is in fact the first practical effort required in the fourth way. The student is to create an observing eye, which observes with objectivity his or her inner activity. To develop an objective space within, which can see without judging, is extremely difficult, but is also the first breakthrough out of our mechanical behavior and the state of sleep in which it keeps us. Consciousness is a particular kind of awareness concerning who we are, where we are in the moment, and what we know in the deepest dimension of our being. It never remains the same, but can be made continuous and controllable through special efforts and study. The fourth way points to four states of consciousness: sleep, waking state, self-consciousness, and objective consciousness. Most everyone lives only in the first two states. The third state, self-consciousness, is one that we believe we possess even though we are conscious of ourselves only in rare flashes. Such flashes come in exceptional moments, in highly emotional states, in times of danger, or in new and unexpected circumstances. We have no control over their coming and going. Gurdjieff writes, if we knew the quantity of wrong observations, wrong theories, wrong deductions, and conclusions made in this state, our ordinary consciousness, we should cease to believe ourselves altogether. Dr. Kathleen Spieth, in her book The Gurdjieff Work, observes that anyone who has a difficult time accepting the notion that as we are, we have but few moments of true self-consciousness ought to make a study of the loose jaws and vacant stares of people in public places and in situations where they do not think that they are being observed. According to the fourth way, the central obstacle to higher levels of consciousness is a phenomenon known as identification. Uspensky described it in this manner. In this state, man has no separate awareness. He is lost in whatever he happens to be doing, feeling, thinking. Because he is lost, immersed, not present to himself, this condition is known as a state of waking sleep. When we are identified, our attention is directed outward, and we are lost to ourselves. Self-consciousness is then a state in which we become aware of ourselves and are no longer hypnotized by the external event before us. In order to see clearly the roots of our psychological distortions, the fourth way defines two aspects of the individual, essence and personality. Essence is what a person is born with. Personality is that which is acquired. All that is learned, both unconsciously through imitation and through acquired likes and dislikes, constitutes the outer part of the person, that which is changed by outer circumstances. Though personality is necessary, it must not be left to dominate essence, or it will produce artificial persons cut off from their true natures. According to Rodney Collin, one of Uspensky's primary students who started his own Fourth Way School in South America, the fundamental abnormality in human beings lies precisely in the divergence between personality and essence. The more nearly we know ourselves for what we are, the more we approach wisdom. The more our imagination about ourselves diverges from what we actually are, the more insane we become. Through the practices of self-remembering, we can separate ourselves from the pretenses and imitations that have enslaved us since childhood and return to who we actually are. Such a return to our essential nature is accompanied by a sense of liberation unlike any other. To thyself be true is the first commandment on the way of self-development. Maurice Nicole states in his psychological commentaries on the teachings of Gurdjieff and Uspensky that as you make progress in the work, what you took as yourself begins to look like a little prison house far away in the valley beneath you. This is a vivid expression of the third state of consciousness, or self-remembering, as it is called. These flashes of greater consciousness are the unexpected results of the strenuous efforts made in order to not lose ourselves in the rush of outer circumstances, to be cleansed from the acids of negativity, and to maintain a heightened awareness grounded in the present. The student is to reach a point where he or she can make the choice not to react automatically to external stimuli. This requires going against the grain, resisting long-established habits and self-indulgences. The question is as basic as, can you find the willpower to choose not to react angrily to something that makes you angry? Rather than being wasted in such an outburst, the energy accumulated through this effort can be available for a moment of intensified consciousness. This moment will flood you with peace and quiet joy, or a sense of profound liberation. Oddly enough, these rare and precious moments often come in very paradoxical events. When night is darkest, a shaft of light can suddenly break through. Self-remembering, combined with the insights of objective self-observation, assists in the creation of a balanced individual who is not completely under the sway of his or her inborn nature and acquired habits. It is not possible to experience a vaster sense of reality if we are entirely under the dominance of the intellect to the exclusion of the emotional or the instinctive part of our nature, and vice versa. In attempting to make the machine work right, it is necessary to change attitudes and behavior developed over years of wrong functioning. Maurice Nicole gives us a hint of these first stages of real change in his psychological commentaries. He writes, "This gradual withdrawal of energy from the customary, easily resentful and brittle feeling of I is accompanied by a gradual new and broader feeling of I, as if one were living in a larger place. It is like being introduced to a new civilization, to another form of life." He points out that by using the inner camera of self-observation, we begin to open a mind above the level of the sensual mind. Here is where the psychological experiences of the fourth way begin to reveal their numinous and religious or spiritual character. Self-remembering, then, is a process of being lifted out of our ordinary sense of self into a purified, detached space well known to those long practiced in meditation. But in the fourth way, this birth of new awareness can be accomplished while one crosses a city street or takes out the trash. Nevertheless, despite the practical approach of the work, self-remembering remains as intangible and paradoxical as any spiritual exercise. Reminiscent of the Zen koan, Rodney Collin told his students that we cannot remember ourselves until we forget ourselves. And at the height of his powers of understanding, he united the fourth way with the wisdom of all times and places. He wrote, "To feel beauty, to feel truth, that is self-remembering. Self-remembering is the awareness of the presence of God." The idea that we are not awake but live in a partial dream state from which we can awaken opens radically new horizons. The illusions we foster concerning ourselves melt under the light of increased consciousness, and we awaken to new dimensions of reality that set us free. We are then able to relate to the world around us without the usual defenses, masks, and confusion that constitute much of human interaction. We become capable of a new kind of compassion.